There's this cascade that needs to happen for someone to listen to an episode. First, it's your show art, then it's your title, then they're scanning through the episodes, the title has to grab them, and then it's the description. Each of these should make people more intrigued.
A tomboy who wants to be Perry Mason and has a crush on Della included this book on job applications. There's an emotional and a visual element of this that harkens back to childhood that I think, again, the listener can place themselves and relate to that. There's a story that's unfolding here. Welcome back to another podcast roast where in every episode we tear down one of our listeners' show's packaging, and so their title, cover art, episode titles, show description, to help them improve their discoverability and new listener acquisition, and hopefully help you do the same along the way. And today, in the hot seat on the skewer, we have This Queer Book Saved My Life by our listener JP Der Bogosian. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, JP. And Justin, I'm going to throw it over to you. What are your initial impressions as you open up the show in Apple Podcasts?
I like it. I like the title and the artwork. Mm-hmm. Just really kind of stand out for me. Right away, it tells me what the show's about, who it's for. I get a sense of what the episodes are going to cover. The episode artwork itself, very simple, but stylized. They've also added that they've won an award on the podcast show art. I actually think in this case, it works. The 2024 GLAAD Media Award nominee Outstanding Podcast. And so first impressions, I'm kind of digging it. What about yourself?
Yeah. So for everybody who's listening on audio, with the cover art, they've got in big letters right in the middle, we've got This Queer Book, which it all has a gradient of the pride flag over top of it. And then Save My Life is in white text beneath that in a lighter font weight. And so it's very clear from the cover art exactly what the show is about. And I like that This Queer Book. And so that's the big text on the cover art. And so we already know two important pieces of information about the show. And then Save My Life is also big. And so now we get an even additional kind of piece of information. So all of that is in the title. I think that gives you, like you said, you can immediately understand what the show is about. And I think one of the things that's really powerful about this title, people who are tuning into this, I would imagine, have maybe had a similar experience. And so what I really like about this is that by just seeing the title and or the cover art, you as a potential listener, it connects you back to an experience that you've had similar to this. And so there's immediately this connection. There's not just relevance, but there's also resonance. And you haven't even listened yet where you're like, oh, I remember this book was that book for me. And you haven't even listened to a second of audio yet, and you already have a connection with the show. And so this is a really hard thing to do that does not work for every show. But I think that this, the concept and the title, really set the show up for success.
And it just shows, like, you don't always have to get super creative with your title. It's just like, what's the show about? Who is it for? What's the concept? And can we figure out something that communicates all of that in the most succinct way possible? In some ways, like, you don't even need to read the description. You can guess what the show is about.
Yeah.
I also like it's searchable. Like, in each case, I just searched This Queer Book and instantly it popped up. It was really easy to find, really easy for you to just tell me the title audibly and for me to be able to search it on my phone and find it.
The other thing is that I have a member of my community who is a queer author. And he used to have a show in a similar space here. And this is a vibrant community where people are actively searching for this topic. And they want to read queer authors, as you might imagine, as anybody from any marginalized community probably wants to read from people who've had similar life experiences and not just kind of the dominant culture. And so this is a niche with a lot of people in motion already, as I know we've talked about before. And so I think having that in the title, people are probably looking for queer books, queer authors. And this show is going to immediately come up for that. And so there is so much that is done by just the concept of the show. And we've talked about that before, too. Like, if you have a great concept, a lot of your work is done. It becomes easier to title. Not always, but a lot of concepts can be titled easily, compellingly, and it's really straightforward. And so, yeah, I think really strong start based on title and cover art. And let's maybe go through the show description next and see what we've got there.
A 2024 GLAAD Media Award nominee for Outstanding Podcast. Fans of On Being and Los Culturistas love this indie where LGBTQ guests share the queer books that saved their lives with the authors who wrote them. And then it goes on from there. But I think we could even just riff on that first part there.
This is a little bit interesting. So we've got the GLAAD Award nominee on the title, and then we've also got it as the first thing in the description. I'm a little bit torn because usually that first sentence is so important to continue to hook people. And then we've even got the second sentence is fans of On Being and Los Culturistas. And so here we've got quite a bit of text before getting to any kind of additional context or information. But on the other hand, as you kind of mentioned, you almost don't need the description in this case because the title does so much of the heavy lifting that I'm kind of neutral on this. I personally might leave the award nomination, like bump it further down in the description. But at the same time, because I feel like you already get a sense of what the show is from the title and cover art, it's kind of fine to have it there. So that would be my thoughts on that. And then the second piece there, the On Being and Los Culturistas, I like that reference. We've talked before about anchors and associations. And so this is, you know, On Being is actually one of my favorite shows. And so immediately that's something like, oh, if I like that show, I have a sense of how this show is going to maybe explore these topics. And I don't know Los Culturistas, but it's kind of nice that you're covering some additional ground there.
Yeah. If I could suggest a refactoring of this just to try, I might lead with LGBTQ guests share the queer books that save their lives with the authors who wrote them. That's just a nice distillation of the show. And then I might follow that up with, if you're a fan of shows like On Being or Los Culturistas, you're going to love this independent take from host J.P. Der Boghossian. Something like that, I think, would be a nice succinct distillation of that. JP follows up with guests that have been on the show. That might be a good move, especially if these are recognizable names. I also like this part here. Guests from across the rainbow tell authors how their books help them overcome alienation, gender dysphoria, familial homophobia, and being outed. That's also a great tagline, and maybe I would experiment with bringing that to the top. Again, that's like a more unique hook on what makes this show special or compelling.
Yeah, you know, I really like both the author names, if they're well-known, as well as some of the topics that it covers. I know we talk about this quite a bit. Like, those are both great for searchability and discoverability for the apps that do search through the description, but also for helping listeners understand what types of topics will be covered on the show and getting a sense before they listen whether this is relevant to them or not. Now, the other thing that you mentioned here is that hook about the guests talking to the authors and telling the stories about these issues, that to me is a additional fascinating hook that does not come through in the title. And so I think in both cases, you mentioned that maybe bumping up, I think it's like the third sentence here, where it says LGBTQ guests share the queer books that save their lives with the authors who wrote them. I do think I would want that up front because that feels like, okay, this queer book saved my life. Okay, interesting already. But then there's this additional dynamic that I think we all have pieces of art or content, books we read, people in our lives who've had some impact on us that we wish we could thank and for some reason can't, or it's too uncomfortable or whatever reason. And I think that everybody has this experience. And so to be able to listen in on this, this feels like a sacred moment. And I think that that's a great differentiator and hook that I would want to make sure is coming through, because it just feels like I just get the warm and fuzzies just thinking about these conversations happening, about both as the, you know, as a creator being able to hear what your work has done to someone, and then also for the person who has had their life shaped in a profound way by this work of art or content.
Yeah. Why don't we move on to episode titles and descriptions?
Yeah, let's do it.
I will note there's a few other formats here. It looks like they're also including episodes from a podcast called 7 Minutes in Book Heaven and episodes from The Gailey Show. So in this list of episodes, we are going to see all three formats.
Yeah, and I think I'm not quite sure. In the description, it almost looks like these are totally separate shows that are being feed dropped in here. And so it looks like JP actually hosts these other shows as well and then cross-post them in the feed, which is fine. And I think that it's a good way to cross-pollinate between audiences who, you know, might be interested in all these things. And I think that for sure, the 7 minutes in Book Heaven, obviously, it's again about books and authors. That one looks like it's an author's interview style show about new books coming out. So it differs from the format of this show, but it's highly relevant to most people listening. And then The Gaily Show has, sounds like it's going to be a more general kind of like current events, pop culture, news type show that is probably generally relevant to this audience as well. So I don't think that's necessarily a problem. And we can see from the feed that it is clearly stated in the titles, and you kind of need to do that if you're going to be mixing in multiple formats.
One attribute of the show that they benefit from is that they get to use the titles of popular books. For example, To Kill a Mockingbird, people are searching for that title. People might recognize that title. And so if I'm just scanning through episodes and like, oh, what grabs me? It's nice that if someone has read a book or has been interested in a book, they might click through on that episode and, you know, investigate, oh, what's their take on that particular book?
Yeah. And I think that this is, we haven't actually really talked about this before, but I think of this concept of like topic selection, how the topics that you choose for individual episodes slowly shape your audience and your show over time. And this is both something to think about because there's a downside of going too far into one area if that's not all you want to talk about. And you can also be too broad, where you just, you know, kind of have nothing to kind of anchor people to. And we've kind of been mostly random with our show roast so far. But I do think about if we keep doing these roasts and at some point thinking about, we want to get more intentional about who we're bringing on because we want to have shows that are relevant to different people. So we would want to cover some shows that are fiction, some that are serial, some that are episodic, some that are in, on all these different topics, some that are for businesses, some that are not, some are solo shows, interviews. And so over time, we want to make sure that we are providing relevant content to the spectrum of our listeners. And I think that this is something that you can very intentionally and strategically do with a show like this, where you can say, okay, I want to make sure I'm getting some people with science fiction and history and all of these different genres, because you know that this is not a show where the audience is necessarily focused on just one genre of book. And so you want to make sure that you can actually tap into new audiences and give new people entry points that are easy for them because it's with a book they're already familiar with, a genre they're already familiar with. And so that's something to really think about. Any show can do this, but I think especially shows where you're referencing something else, is it makes it much easier to do that. So the other thing beyond the titles, what I'm seeing is he's done a really good job with the descriptions beneath the episodes. For To Kill a Mockingbird with, I think, Jean Gustafson, the description here is, a tomboy who wants to be Perry Mason and has a crush on Della included this book on job applications. Today, we meet Jean M. Gustafson, and we're talking about the book that saved her life, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. And then it gets into a little bit more about the guest here. But I really like that first line, a tomboy who wants to be Perry Mason and has a crush on Della included this book on job applications. There's a story that's unfolding here, and I'm already, it's, there's an emotional and a visual element of this that kind of harkens back to childhood that I think, again, the listener can place themselves and be like, oh yeah, I can relate to that. And then I look at the episode above this where it's, when a closeted queer kid meets his fairy godfather, what does he wish for? That's a great opening question that has, it's visual and it's evocative. And you're kind of like, you can put yourself in the shoes if you're a member of this audience. And so I really like what JP is doing with these descriptions in not just giving a bland, in this episode, we talk to so-and-so who is this person about this topic. And we, it takes us three sentences to get to anything, you know, more interesting.
Yeah, these are great. Very visual. As gay kids, we have to get through so much that we end up not remembering a lot of our childhoods. It's like, okay, immediately, you know, if that was your experience, then you're identifying with it. And again, there's this cascade that needs to happen for someone to listen to an episode. And it's like, first it's your show art, then it's your title, then they're scanning through the episodes. The title has to grab them, or the episode artwork has to grab them. And then it's the description. So each of these should make people more intrigued about this particular episode and encourage them to click through and actually listen.
Yeah. The thing I want to just call out here that really sucks is I scrolled down to the description and it doesn't have great reviews and it's for trolls. And I think that that's something that, you know, not all shows have to put up with. And there are many shows that do have to put up with this for a variety of reasons. And it makes me sad to see this, that there's negative or like one-star reviews here and some pretty disgusting comments. So I just want to acknowledge that not all shows have to put up with that. And it sucks that some shows do.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That's in the Canadian store. I don't know what, we should figure out what Apple's process is for flagging those, because that definitely shouldn't be there. Overall, their review in the US store, it looks like it's 4.5 from 50 ratings. And their review on Spotify is also high, 4.8 from 16 reviews. Yeah. So Apple should be flagging those homophobic reviews and removing them. But that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. So I pulled it up in Spotify here. I'm not seeing any custom episode artwork, which, again, I'm not quite sure. I would assume you could use the actual book cover, which to me, especially if you think about books like To Kill a Mockingbird, where, I mean, I'm sure there's dozens, if not hundreds of different covers that have been used over the years with that book. But still, a lot of times, like books, no matter how you consume a book, there is a cover, whether it's on Audible or Kindle, or you have the physical book. And so I think that is a great hook for the episode artwork here, where somebody who spent any amount of time with the book, they probably have some familiarity with that. And the visuals communicate much faster than text does. And so you can scan it. And especially if it's a book you just recently read, that's going to catch your eye before you even realize it. So that would be something I would be experimenting with this show for sure.
Yeah. And as you scroll down, they are using custom episode artwork for the 7 minutes in Book Heaven episodes, which I think is a good move if you're going to have kind of other feeds or other feed drops in your main feed. Distinguish between those episodes and your regular episodes. But I think they could still add book covers to the actual episodes and then just keep, you know, the 7 minutes in Book Heaven cover art the same. And it would have the same effect. People would still know, oh, this is this type of episode and this is this type of episode, focusing on a specific book.
The other thing I'm noticing here is that there is a trailer in Spotify, but it's not giving me a length here. So I'm assuming if I click play, it's actually giving me an error that it's saying Spotify can't play this right now. I'm not sure if that's just on my computer or if that's something you're seeing as well.
Yeah, in Apple Podcasts, I can't see a trailer episode, and I don't see it in Spotify on the app.
Okay, so something interesting going on there to maybe look into if there is meant to be a trailer episode. And if there is not a trailer episode, then something to think about creating, as that is a great kind of gateway to the show. And again, like I think almost with the trailer episode in this case, I think that we've got a good sense of what the show does. And I think the trailer episode, what I would want to know as a listener is what's the vibe. And especially because this topic could go in many directions. It could be a serious and heavy and somber show, or it could be a lighthearted, upbeat show, or it could be more likely anywhere in between. And I think that's what I would want to get from the trailer episode is, what mood do I need to be in? Do I want to really just like feel deeply right now? Or is this almost a kind of escape and something that I can kind of just like feel, you know, part of this community? So that's something that, you know, it exists for most shows too, is that vibe and tone are such a big part of a podcast that doesn't always come through in the text description. Obviously, you can speak to that in your messaging and copy, but it's something that once you listen to it, you immediately get a sense for like, okay, how does this slot into my life? When do I listen to this?
Yeah, the trailer episode is just underrated. I know it's more work. I know it's hard to produce something like that, but it really does help, especially you're spending time with this person. You're now like, you know, sitting in their living room, or you're now sitting shotgun to them as they're driving, and you're spending time with them in their world. And so you kind of want to get a little sense of what they're like, what the vibe is like.
So one other thing that I wanted to point out, that this isn't necessarily part of the outward facing packaging, but before we started playing this, I actually clicked play on an episode just to get the pronunciation of JP's last name. And I realized that this show is actually a radio show that has been kind of ported over to reposted on the podcast feed. And the thing that comes to mind for me is that JP has kept the radio intro. And so I've actually worked with people before where the radio station just gives you the file that you have your welcome to, you know, KPMZ, Chicago, you know, whatever. And you can kind of choose to edit that out or not yourself. Personally, I would edit that out because I think that people have certain expectations when they come to a podcast that they want a podcast experience. And I think that it's different from radio. And I think that this diverges more and more over time, where I think podcasting and radio started out as very closely aligned. And with every month and year that goes by, they're becoming distinct mediums that are becoming much further apart. And I think that a lot of people have very different expectations of a podcast than a radio show. And if they heard that, oh, this is radio, they have an expectation that comes with that, that they might think, oh, I'm not a person who listens to radio. This show is probably going to be like all these other radio shows that I can't stand. And so I'm not even going to give it a chance. So that would be something that I would think about. I don't know how much extra work that would add into the production flow, but I would want to make this feel like a bespoke podcast experience.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I've got one more thing we could talk about, which is they have a podcast website, thisqueerbook.com. I just want to point out that it's really nice having a podcast website. This was the number one search result when I searched for the podcast on Google. Making a website's difficult. You know, I would say there's probably things you could improve here, but just the fact that they have a website for the show, there's a way of like getting to all episodes. You can learn more about the show. There's a mission. There's, you know, all sorts of other things on here that I think makes it more interesting if you're like getting into the show. I will also note that when you look at the artwork they have listed for the episodes on their website, they are actually doing some of the things we're talking about. They've got photos of the guest or they've got photos of the book. And if they're already doing it for the website, like for these individual posts on their website, it's pretty easy to just grab that, put it into a square frame, you know, 3,000 pixels by 3,000 pixels, and upload that as custom episode artwork when you publish your episode. These would, I think, work great, you know, as custom episode art inside of Spotify and the other places that support, you know, custom episode artwork.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that, you know, if you're already doing the work here, you've already got them, I would make use of that everywhere else as well.
All right. So hopefully that was helpful for JP in making the show better. Again, lots of good things going on here and things you could build on top of. And hopefully that was helpful for everyone else. There's some takeaways you can use for your show. Jeremy, if people want to have their show roasted, what should they do?
You can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave our show, Podcast Marketing Trends Explained, a review. And in that review, just drop the name of your show in there and we will add it to the hat and potentially pull it out for a future roast.